Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
One other prayer request, too, if you can, some of you know of Jody. Just wanted to ask you to keep her in prayer. She's had going through some health issues, and she's going to be out of work quite a while. So if you can just keep her in prayer as well. She's just out of work, and we just got to keep her in prayer. Can't really go into details, but just to let you know, if you can, just wanted to mention that as well. I was told by Melody, she sent me last Sunday after the message, she must have went back into YouTube and watched it. She said, I got 22 minutes to beat, so we're going to go from there. 22 minutes was her time last week, so my wife's doing children's church. She was kind of looking at things this morning, you know, was, oh, I don't know if I have enough. I said, look who's speaking this morning. So, and Bill came in ready to go to the beach this afternoon. So time is, it's a beautiful day. It's going to be a good day to get out a little early. But let's go into the word this morning. Father, I thank you for bringing us here this morning. Lord, I believe you have given me this word to share with your people. I pray that you would take it, Lord, and Lord, do with it what you will. Lord, let it penetrate the hearts of your people. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I titled this message, Stepping into the Unknown. Melody's, her word, it was so accurate and so good last week, wasn't it? Her title was The Art of Pruning. And one of the things that I think the Lord wants to prune in all of our lives is the fear of the, especially of the unknown. A lot of things that we do, you know, especially as Christians, when the Lord kind of gives us something to do, we're kind of hesitant at first, or you know, not really ready to jump in because we're not really sure what the, you know, a lot of times, you know, you got to weigh the cost of what you're going to do. And are we, you know, willing to pay the cost before we jump in? And that is a lot of our fears. One of my fears is a fear, you know, fear of heights. And, you know, I see Bobby doing his climbing and all these things. I was a former Watertown firefighter, and we have two ladder trucks, one that has a bucket at the end. And I had no problem being in that, going up and down. I had a nice little bucket. The other one was a stick. It would go up 85 feet in the air, and all it was the rungs of the ladder. As I climbed that, my legs would shake. Even if I had the little belt there to hook in, even though I didn't feel secure. But I think the Lord wants us, and the word that he's given me to bring forth this morning is just, you know, to trust in him. The fear, you know, fear is healthy at times. You know, there's the fear of, many scriptures talk about the fear of the Lord. But when the Lord speaks to you and gives you something to do, you have to trust in him. And I believe, you know, he's speaking. Have you ever felt called or commanded by the Lord to do something? Yet, because of what we see with our eyes, it causes us to hesitate on moving forward. Or worse yet, not move at all. And I think of, you know, a few reasons why we don't. You know, we think of what other people might think. You know, we look at other people around us and say, hey, if I go do this, what would they think of me? You know, as Christians, sometimes we look at people of the world we're friends with, and if we go make a move that would kind of make us stick out a little bit. You know, we don't want to do that, you know. We like to stay status quo. Our fear of failure, we get into something, you know, even though the Lord speaks to us and tells us, you know, he's going to be with us, we're hesitant to move forward because we don't want to fail. And the third one, the idea that what we're about to do is just downright crazy. I think there was three, you know, I think of three examples in the Bible that Noah. You know, I think of Noah. How would, you know, I think of, you know, how about if we had a person named John King over in Bristol who was felt led of the Lord to build this huge boat in Bristol and just, you know, bought 3 acres of land, just started building it, and people are coming to see him and wondering what the heck he is doing. How would we look at him? You know, just think of it. Think of it today. If somebody was to do something like that, buy some land, just start building, and you ask him what he was doing, oh, God told me to, that I need to build this. And how would you look at him?
Same as I do now.
You know, I think of, you know, we hear reports, you know, of what would you do if you heard of somebody that they were on a hiking trip and they were with some friends, and they, one of the friends came back and reported that they were about to raise a knife to their own one and only son and kill him. And yet at the last moment, they dropped the knife and decided not to do it. What would we, you know, we think that person would be in jail. You know, yet God told them to do it. You know, I'm just bringing these, you know, bringing these examples of what we read through these examples in the Old Testament, and we kind of just skim through it like, okay, they did it, you know, but we don't realize the struggles that these people went through. You know, we don't look at the fear that they, you know, is this God? Is he really telling me to kill my one and only son? Is he really telling me to build this ark thing when there's no evidence that there hasn't been rain around here for months? Is he really telling us to do it? And yet, I believe the Lord wants us, through these examples, that we have to step out in faith before he'll respond. You know, Moses, when he brought those people across the sea, it wasn't until he stepped into the water that the sea parted. He had no proof that when he was, God told him to go across, but until that foot hit the water didn't move. It wasn't until he stepped in ready to go, and he had carts, he had all kinds of equipment with him, people, young children, and it wasn't until he stepped in that water till it parted. He had to have faith that God was with him. Do we have that kind of faith that when we ask for something and God tells us to do something, that it's actually going to happen? I think it's a big struggle in today's church that we have the, I guess I call it the, you know, like the McDonald's approach, that we want it now and show me first before I move ahead. What kind of people are we? You know, what kind of people are you? Are you the kind, the optimist or the pessimist? The one with the glass half empty or the half full? You know, do you always think of, you know, my wife and I, we, you know, I'm the half full person, she's the half empty. I look at what the possibilities can be, she's the one that says, you know, better watch it, it's gonna fail. And one of the groups of people, as I'm, you know, I've been reading through my devotions, and the Israelites are a group of people that didn't have the faith that I'm talking about this morning. And what is the ramifications of that? If we look into Numbers chapter 13, and it's the report of the spies, when God told them to send leaders, not just anybody of this group that were going to go. They were leaders of the Israelites. So what were they? They were men of influence to spy out the Canaanites. And God strictly told them, he said, spy out Canaan, which I am going to give you to the Israelites, the land of Canaan. And I believe that the purpose was for them to see the goodness of the land. the, you know, the flush, the soil, the good, and the, and it was for them to exercise faith. You know, he wanted to see them the ripe, the land that was good for, you know, soil, for planting, for grapes and everything else. And what happened? They came back. They were there for 40 days spying out that land. And when they came back, they, what did they do? They said, yeah, the land does flow with milk and honey. And then what, that's all the good that they said. And then they expounded upon the bad and exaggerated the bad. Oh, these people are giants, they're gonna kill us, you know, no matter what we do. And what happened when they disobeyed? They turned around and they grumbled and complained, and they were ready to stone Moses again. And God said, okay, you're done. Now go back into the land. And then they changed their mind. They changed their tune. Okay, we don't want this. This is this land. This is this McDonald approach. Okay, now he's going to make us go back into the wilderness again. Oh, wait, we'll believe you now. We'll go in and we'll attack them. And what happened when they changed? God said, no, that's it. Go back in. And when they turned, they went on their own, not led by the Lord. They got defeated. They got mauled and pushed back. And that's when we kind of push back to God and we say, this is not our way, not what we want. You know, he has a plan for us. And he may work it out in another way. Melody talked about last week, when we face trials, our reactions play a big part on the outcome. What approach do we have? Do we have a defensive approach when we come to these obstacles, when we face those giants? What happens? Sheila talked about Sheila and that the first year that Sheila and I were in between engaged and getting married. That one year, I had 8 W-2s. I quit my job 8 times in the year, 8 different jobs, and she still married me. And she's had, yes. So that's how I faced, and for many years, that's how I faced trials and tribulations. Anytime something would come against me and I'd hit a wall, instead of trying to plow through it, I'd avoid conflict and move away. I'd avoid it. And I never learned a lesson through it. And that's why I faced those many walls, continue to face the walls, because I quit. You know, I always looked at, okay, this is a, you know, I felt uncomfortable in a situation. I always looked at my self-preservation. And I wanted the gratification now. I always looked at, okay, where was I going to make the most money? Even though I didn't have, like I went into the computer field and stuff, even though I didn't have the aptitude to, you know, really get into computers and the knowledge to do it, I went in it because they offered me money. And then what happened? I got swallowed up. Or should we have the offensive approach? God, guide me through it and teach me. You know, go into it, even though we have these trials and tribulations. Go forward. God tells you to move and go forward. Go and believe that he's going to be with you and help you through it. What's going to happen? We're going to end up dying to self. I think of the fiery furnace approach, that even though I'm going forward, even if God doesn't, I believe he's going to help me through this, but even if he doesn't, I'm going to go through it anyway. Amen. So which approach do you take in situations like that? Do you have the defensive approach, the one I explained earlier about, you know, avoiding it, or the approach that I believe God is calling us to, even as a church now? And I think I told Melody last week, I said I needed this lesson, this message 25 years ago. that you go through it. If God is calling you to go forward, believe on him and believe that he's going to be with you through those trials, and he's going to take care of those giants that are before you. Even though you see them and you see it with your eyes, as those Israelites went into the land and they saw the giant, they saw the people there, and they, even though God had brought them through all these other situations, they expounded on what they saw with their own eyes and didn't believe in that God was going to, they were looking at their own resources and not, I think, believing God is calling us today to call on him and his resources. Hold on. The Israelites took the defensive approach, and what was their result? 40 more years in that wilderness. Do you want to spend 40 years in a wilderness, or do you want to spend a struggle and a time to plow through and get where God wants you to go? You have to hold on to those promises, but those promises cause you or require you to utilize faith, the faith that God gives us. So I'm going to, there's a few verses that I'm bringing forth this morning that I believe the Lord reminds us of his faith. And his, he said the in Proverbs 29:25, it says, "The fear of man brings a snare, but he who trusts in the Lord will be exalted." That's Proverbs 29:25. The fear of man brings a snare. Again, do you fear people? Fear of what other people would think? Is that causing you to hold back? Is it causing you not to move where God wants you to go? Because you're thinking of what other people would think. You're thinking, you're afraid. And this verse I've given, I believe it was to Madge before, in 2 Timothy 1:7. It says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. When you're in a situation where you believe the Lord has led you to go, again, there's situations where you shouldn't be going, but if you know that this is what God has called you to do, if this is something that the Lord has led you to a place to go, do not fear, because that fear is not coming from God. And then finally, in Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, we have to choose who we're with and who we're going to serve. When we make these decisions to move forward in what God calls us to do, we can't waver, because it will fail. It's ultimate failure to kind of step on the fence or be on the fence. You know, you can't say, I'm going to go, I'm not going to go. I'm going to go, I'm not going to go. Because it's, you have to be committed. Joshua 24:15 says, if it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. There's many gods out there, many things that you can serve. Sports, there's your work, there's your family. But you have to choose who you will serve. And I hope this morning you'll do as Joshua stated, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Can you stand this morning? Father, I believe this word is what you have given me to share with your people. And Lord, it doesn't have to be long to hit the mark. And I believe you have called your people to make a decision this morning. Make a decision of whom they will serve. Make a decision not to fear when they are called to walk according to your word. And Father, I pray that you would speak to their hearts this morning, Lord, as to the path that you would have them to take going forward. Lord, this is a week of dying and then resurrection. Hallelujah. Lord, let us die to ourselves this morning. Hallelujah. So that you may resurrect in our lives. And Lord, I pray for your people this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.